Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face.
Of course.
Go.
And that's it. Go. Now, let's do this.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
Put my mic on!
Now, this is where the announcement comes in. It's going to shock a lot of people, although I expect some of you are expecting it. I have decided to step down from both positions.
Yeah! Victory!
Bam, 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 bam! Welcome to episode 5 of Destruction 101. You just heard the voice of one Adam Lavelle, living the Vida Loca. Who cares? He's gone. I think it's very important to note that there were things that he said in this little announcement, and there was also a lot of verbiage on his Facebook post when he decided to, quote, step down, which we all know what happened. He also went on record to say that he has no heat with the companies he was working for, and that he was welcomed back whenever he wanted, and he's above this. He's above pro wrestling, so he needs to move on. And he was upset because, well, you know, how can they judge me based on how I just don't like a gimmick? I don't like a gimmick. I mean, all right, I didn't get personal with this guy last time, but like now that it's all over and he's gone and he's eliminated from wrestling and all that good stuff. Yeah, it's hard to just fathom. Like, I've watched this guy's video. If you haven't, please look it up. All of his videos, not just the ones that were just brutal. They're all brutal, but you know what I mean. I just think that he's hard to take serious. He's hard to look at, and I know he got my message. I know he got my message because I said something about his background of his show, podcast, whatever, where he had you know, like 2 8x10s of a couple indie wrestlers, and this week he upped his game. He put up like 6. So you want to up your game, go check out the Shining Wizards podcast wall in their Studio A. It's full of names and independent stars and past guests he's had in studio. So how does he exactly have guests in studio? I guess he would just have to do pretty much what I do, and that's say, come on over to the old apartment and we'll start recording. But this is bad because, you know, it's almost, I mean, it is definitely mom's basement. I mean, it has to be. I just don't see him living on his own. And if he does, like, no offense to my cat who's listening to me record right now, but he must have like 7 or 8 cats or something. I don't know. Like I said, the evil of pro wrestling is always going to be around. And I think it's very important to know that all your shares, all your listens, all your downloads, all your tweets at him, all your messages to him, they were heard. And they were heard by the right people. He claims that, you know, there was, we don't know the people to contact. Yeah, well, guess what? I know everybody. I know who to contact and when to contact and how to contact. And I have a bunch of affiliates that were down there. They were literally down there. And I had another guy, like, texting me play-by-play of his whereabouts and if he was going to show up. And once I heard that he wasn't going, I knew I gave the whole Johnny Drama victory. I did. I was very excited. I said, you know what? Good, man. This is exactly what we wanted. This is exactly what we wanted. We wanted him to go. And he went. And he says that people are going to celebrate it. Yeah. Yeah, we're celebrating it, pal. Sorry. Sorry to burst your bubble that you live in by yourself. But yeah, we're celebrating the fact that evil and bigotry and just hate, discrimination, all of the above is not tolerated in a professional broadcasting, professional sports, professional wrestling, professional anything. It's not tolerated. You're no better than anybody else. So now, bye-bye. And he's like, well, I'll still continue my podcast. Good for you, dude. Good for you. You go nuts. But now I know the two biggest things you hung your hat on were the fact that you were the color commentary person for Legacy Pro Wrestling and MCW Pro Wrestling down in Maryland, which I'll get into more later because there's a huge deal going on between WrestlePro and MCW. So, guess who won on that one as well? So anyway, thank you guys for all your voices. We're coming off a Royal Rumble weekend, so we're all in a positive mood, right? Everybody's happy with the Rumble, right? And that's another thing, man. I can go on and on about how people just despise everything that happens. I mean, I'll get more into it later, but the Cena match, like, I'm not even a big fan of John Cena's wrestling. I'm not. His personality and his character, I think it's awesome. I think his character, and he's the hardest working guy, he looks the best, you know what I mean? Is he AJ Styles? No, he's not AJ Styles. He knows that, but he pulled off some moves, man, where I'm like, whoa, where did that even come from? And they delivered, and it was a wow match, and it really was. Like, I don't like doing the whole five-star thing, but it was 5 stars, if not more. And that whole pay-per-view, top to bottom, was great. The Royal Rumble itself, I mean, I was excited about it. I was over at my buddy's house. We all had a good time, ordered some food, and we just enjoyed it. There was no pools or anything like that. We didn't do any number drawings like we usually do, which kind of took the excitement out of certain things. But we were just kind of sitting back and enjoying the product for what it was and who's going to be the surprises. And I guess if you want to consider it, one surprise at 10 with Ty Dillinger? I mean, I guess that's it. But I'll get more into that as I go off. So thank you again for all the shares and downloads. We're going on 20 grand. And again, sometimes I look at these numbers and I don't believe them myself. Sometimes I have to say, like, there has to be, like, somebody hitting refresh, like, a million times. And listen, if you're doing that, great. it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't affect me. It only affects my mood because I see the numbers are just jumping off the charts. And for me, that's cool because I knew what I wanted to do and I had a vision coming back into podcasting and I knew what I wanted to do and I know I'm on the track to do it. And I'm getting people, the reviews and the comments and the overall feel that people are actually enjoying this. And that's awesome, man. Like, that's so, so uplifting to my spirits, to my momentum, to my motivation to keep going. Obviously, I'm not going to say, okay, episode 6. All right, episode 13. Okay, episode 94. Lord knows where this is going to go. I would love nothing more than to change the whole scheme of this. I would love to get more guests. I would love to do live call-ins. I would love to do all that stuff. But, things take time. And I want to build a following. And I think I'm doing a pretty good job doing that. And that's very early. It's very early. This is only episode 5. So I've been doing this just over a month. So, again, thank you so, so very much. Moving on. We have, plugs. Got to plug all the stuff coming up first. And that is, obviously, next week, next Friday, February 10th, Valentine's Day weekend. So what better way to celebrate your loved one than to come to a pro wrestling show? I firmly stand behind it, and I believe it. February 10th at the Starland Ballroom. Tickets are moving. I sold 3 to a friend of mine. She's coming with her kids. I'm not asked to do that, just so you know. I mean, and just for the record, because I know there's a lot of shit companies that kind of make you sell tickets. Like Pat told me years ago, dude, you don't have to do this anymore. You've done enough. But I do. I still continue to promote and bring in people that may not be in the know of about WrestlePro. I love educating new people and entertaining new fans, which was cool. Like when we had the snowstorm, or the lack thereof snowstorm, with the 3 inches of snow or whatever was preventing people from coming to Union. I love seeing a lot of new faces, people I've never seen before, and them knowing that I exist, knowing that the product exists. That's cool to me. And that keeps me motivated as far as, still pushing the product. All right, so February 10th, next Friday night, WrestlePro is live at the Starland Ballroom. The next day, February 11th, we are in Brooklyn, New York. That venue also very, very cool. Very, very cool Irish bar across the street. If you want to get a beer prior, after, let me know. It was fun last time. Went with a bunch of the boys. It was a lot of fun, a lot of stuff to do just around the block of that venue, because it's like the main road. I'm terrible with roads, especially within the five boroughs. I have no idea where I'm going. The only path I know how to take is like New Jersey Turnpike to the GWB to the Major Deegan to Yankee Stadium. That's it. Everything else, I'm just like, I either need the train or a subway, or I'll have to GPS it until I'm blue in the face, because I have no idea where I'm going. But yeah, so next week, big WrestlePro weekend. Who's going to be there? Ryback's going to be there. Make sure you guys all catch up and subscribe to that podcast. I use it for my Monday cardio. Conversation with the Big Guy with Pat Buck. So Ryback will be there. He takes on Brian Cage, where he's guaranteeing the fans that he's going to go 30 minutes with Brian Cage. So that's two juggernauts hitting full speed, head-to-head for 30 minutes. Will Pat time it out like that? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have enough time. Okay, it's a fun little Friday. So that match is happening. Oh, and Cody Rhodes, Cody Rhodes, Leo Rush. I almost said Xavier Rush. There is a Xavier Rush, right, in pro wrestling? I'm pretty sure there is. I don't know why I've heard that name before. Leo Rush, Mario Bacara, Cody Rhodes, triple threat match. Also, Matt McIntosh, Alex Reynolds, Joey Janela. Now, whether you like to believe it or not, yes, we have a past, me and him. He helped train me when I first started. He was very cool. We were very close. We got into a couple scuffles. I tried to fucking bite his finger off. And, the rest is history. And we kind of never really liked each other. There was always a bad, just a bitter taste in our mouths. It was probably his finger. So that was a long time ago. I mean, that was literally my first year and a half in wrestling that we had a little beef. So we really haven't talked since then, because he went his separate way when he was with PWS and I stuck with PWS. And then he did his thing, man. And a documentary actually just came out, not to go off on a tangent on this, but I think it's called Please Don't Die, Joey Janela. And I watched it last night. It was 40 minutes long. I watched it actually over Raw, which I don't remember what segment I was watching it over, but I watched it for 40 minutes straight, didn't, and I couldn't look away. It was really good. And I'm a big documentary mark. I love all documentaries. Check out my friggin' Netflix subscription, and it's just full of documentaries. I like to be in the know. I like a lot of knowledge. Movies are great, but my choice of movies are never like five-star movies. It's always like Tommy Boy or Billy Madison or something like that, the comedies. But yeah, this documentary was very, very well done. A lot of cool footage. A lot of stuff I didn't know. And it kind of brought me up to speed on the life of Joey. And I kind of feel bad for the way I acted towards him. Had I known his backstory instead of just thinking, okay, this kid's a prick, I probably wouldn't have started with him or fought him or whatever, and gotten a scuffle in Buck's apartment. we spent New Year's together one year. I think he was there. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he was there. But anyway, like we were close at one point. So I'm hoping obviously I'm not friends with the kid, but like I would like to see him prior to him coming through the curtain. Hopefully I could squash that. I guess update to follow after that event. I don't know. I try to retweet a lot of his stuff, and a lot of it falls on deaf ears. He probably just keeps saying, F that guy or whatever. That's fine. I don't really hold grudges. The only grudge I hold is 1X, who I've talked about time and time again. It's not like I remember her like, oh, she's always on my mind. Like, if she's dead right now, I wouldn't know and I wouldn't care. But I just, for whatever reason, that's like the one bad time in my life where I had to just deal with just rotten garbage. And I just posted about this on Facebook. I keep getting emails from like proflowers.com or 1-800-Flowers or whatever to, why don't you send blah, 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 a dozen roses? And I'm like, I've hit unsubscribe for like 4 years now and it doesn't work. So I keep getting reminded like, oh, in case you want to send her flowers, go for it. So, and I never have. So this year I might change it up, send her a dozen black roses to match her heart. And if they have like a bonus package where you can send a bus to hit her, I mean, bonus. So that being that. But anyway, where was I going? Joey Janela. Okay. So he's facing off against Alex Reynolds, Matt McIntosh, Great match there. A lot of cool stuff in Brooklyn, man. I'm not Brooklyn. Starland. But then there's cool stuff in Brooklyn, too. Ryback will be there. Jake the Snake Roberts will be there. I met him once. That is the one picture I've ever taken with a legend. That's not true. I took a picture with the Rock and Roll Express. But I was with Pat and Kevin, so I felt like, okay, this is allowed because I'm with Pat and Kevin. But I've only asked one person for a picture, and that was Jake Roberts at Supercard 2014. And it's only because I just, for whatever reason, I've always had a soft spot for him. He reminded me of my Uncle Charlie, God rest his soul. I don't know why. It was like literally like face-to-face comparisons. And I just felt like his story was just so remarkable that he was trying to come back. And at the time, he was on his way back to being healthy again. And obviously you see him now and it's like night and day. But when I saw him, he was just starting his little quest. So I just was really inspired by that. So I was like, listen, Mr. Roberts, if it's okay. He's like, just stand over here. Stand the fuck over here. I was like, you got it. Snap the picture. Hurry the fuck up. So yeah, that was Jake Roberts will be there. He's actually holding a seminar earlier in the day, which, you know, had I been active in the ring, I would probably definitely do. I did this when Jeff Jarrett had a seminar. I was hurt and I still attended it. Just because knowledge is power, man. So if I'm able to sneak around and maybe throw a couple bucks towards the seminar, not so much to be active in the ring, but just to kind of pick his brain, I'll do that because I find the man fascinating. So yeah, those are the two shows that are coming up. Now I'm checking my email. I don't know why. I look at emails like during this thing. Anyway, sorry, got off topic for a second. The plugs, yeah. So that's the shows for WrestlePro. There will be something cool that Gino Gatz has implemented. There will be a Snapchat filter, which I'm a big fan of. Snapchat's like the way of the world now. I don't know why. I just feel like it's just like it gives you that brief, what is it, 8-10 seconds, whatever you're allowed to record, like, of what you're doing at that time, how fun it is, and it almost, like, you gotta get there. You know, I don't know if, I guess that's not the, like, the best way to describe it, but for me, at least, when I see people snapping about how much fun they're having or whatever, I find that, like, damn, man, I wish I was there, or whatever, what have you. You know, you follow certain celebrities, you follow, like, I follow Dallas Cowboys, and it's always cool to get, like, a backstage look like in the locker room of guys like talking and just bullshitting and whatever, pregame warmups that you don't see on TV. It's just I think Snapchat's a very cool feature. Add me, Dave Destruction 2. The word destruction is spelled DSTRUCTION, so leave out the E. Yeah, so there's gonna be Snapchat filters for WrestlePro Starland Ballroom and WrestlePro in Brooklyn. So, like, you know, you'll take your selfies, which I'm sure a bunch of people do on, you know, every second basis and try to ask other people for selfies all the time. But that's, you know, I digress. But, yeah, so the Snapchat filters would be pretty badass because you'll have a background of WrestlePro or you'll have a background. I believe it was Cody Rhodes and Ryback is going to be in your background of your picture or on the, like, a border. So I find that very cool. I find that very interactive. So hats off to Gino Gatz, who showed me that last week when I was down at the training school. Speaking of the training school, I didn't write this down, but I saw a couple videos that they posted yesterday, Monday night, of a couple drills that, yes, I'm very familiar with because I've done them all. Have I done them all effectively? I don't know. Yes, I think I'm pretty sure that 5-5-5 deal, I always tried to politic my way into doing it 3-3-3. But it ain't easy. I mean, you are running constant. Even if you're on the receiving end of everything, you have to work. You have to put over that school, man. If you're looking to become a professional wrestler, live the dream. Don't waste your time and money at all these other places that are just like, here, pay me this, get in the ring, and I'll show you how to fall. Like, this is that five-tool trade company that will always give you more than what you're paying for. Like, yes, you're paying for tuition, and no, it's not going to be cheap. Just like any school. I mean, it's not 40 grand like college, but there's a price to pay. And I think if you're taking this serious, you should definitely check it out. I mean, we're not talking just conditioning. We're talking about in-ring, outside the ring. Keep in mind, when I started in 2012, It took me and the original guys that joined that school, it took us a month and a half to earn the right to get in the ring. Yes, earn the right. Some people just come into a school, put your shorts and knee pads on, and say, I'm ready to get in the ring, show me what to do. It took us a month and a half. We had a chain wrestle, submission wrestle on mats, kind of like literally a Stu Hart dungeon style, where we didn't see the ring yet. And then when that first, you know, chance to get in the ring, like that was like, wow, you know, we made it. We earned it. You know, now, I mean, it's a little different now because there's a lot. It's a very big class. So there's only so much you can do. You know, the advanced guys will get in the ring. The newer guys will get on the mats. Like you saw it. Like if you watched the videos, you saw what they were doing. For those who've commented saying that's not the right way to do it, like, come on, man. Like, who are you talking to, you know? You're talking to Buck, man. Like, stop. Just nonsense. Just utter nonsense. And one guy was like, oh, that guy looks blown up. No shit. It's called a blow-up drill. Like, you're supposed to be grasping for air. There's been so many times, especially me, being a bigger guy and just never having the wind. That was part of my, like, downfall, I think. And Pat said that since day one. He said, if you don't got wind, you don't have anything. I don't care how many people you can lift or how many people, you know, you can throw or slam or whatever. If you don't have the wind, you don't have anything. And that couldn't be more truthful. Like, if you blow up and you can't breathe, then you can't do anything. So when I'm watching those guys, I'm getting tired and I'm watching it, you know, from the dinner table or something like that, you know, like, do I miss it? Yeah, I miss it. I mean, I go to the gym basically every day, every other day, whenever I could. And, you know, I feel a lot better than I have. And you can thank the big guy test booster. I think it's working already. He said give it 4 weeks, but it looks like 2.5. And I'm feeling a lot better. I'm seeing results. I'm lifting a little heavier only because, there's always a placebo effect. I mean, you're always going to be like, oh, I took the right dosage, so now I'm going to be able to lift more. Well, yesterday, I put up, 225 for, 12 reps? Probably 11. 11 reps, yeah. That makes more sense. But on a normal day, that would be like my max out for the day where I can only get 3 or 4. And I'm like, you know what, I'll go back down. Because I'm already a bigger guy, so at this point of my life, I'd like to not lift as heavy and try to just tone up everything and not look like a bag of shit. So but yesterday I was just like in the groove and I was like, I got to lift, you know, and my max ever was 305. And that was years ago when I was all hyped up on Mountain Dew and Mountain Dew being steroids. It helps. I'm telling you right now, it does. I mean, it makes you a freaking ox, but it also ruins your life. So I would strongly, highly recommend you not do it. Unless you have the mind for it. I didn't have the mind for it. I'm an emotional mess as is. I cried when Dallas lost. So imagine me on steroids. I would have fucking put my foot through a door, you know? And listen, I wasn't on steroids when Tony Romo fumbled the snap, but we all saw, the people that were around me saw a plasma TV get ripped off the wall. So I don't know if I can handle. These are things that the more stable people have to handle. So that being that. The school is just one of those things where if you really want it, and there's a couple of guys out there that said they wanted to become pro wrestlers and chose a different location. They know who they are. I'm not going to knock you for choosing the wrong location, but just remember, you pay for what you get, you know, and if you're paying $50 for open ring, you're not doing yourself a service. You know what I mean? It's a very big disservice because you're not going to learn. Pat teaches you technician, you know, technical wrestling, hardcore, not really hardcore. I mean, that's a people's flavor, but strong style, have you, if that's what you want to call it. Everything, just how to take a slam, how to throw a headbutt. His European uppercuts are fantastic. You know, like little things. You're not going to get that from any other school. And it's possible, you know, there's places like, you know, the Monster Factory that they have a very, what I see when I see videos of the Monster Factory is very drill sergeant heavy. I don't know if that's the way Danny Cage is or how he operates. I'm not sure. It's not a bad thing, not at all. If I'm a coach, I'm right up your ass. You know, like you have to be. You have to ride these guys hard. That sounded perfect. Where was I going? Oh, the snap. That all filtered off the Snapchat filter. Is that real? I'm looking at notes. I'm like, oh shit. I'm flying through this. Well, he's actually there. I actually got some questions I can answer, which is great. So the plugs are over. Snap, Sheffield, there's talent exchange with MCW Pro Wrestling, formerly known as Maryland Pro Wrestling, Mr. Adam LaVille's former company. So how ironic that a couple days after their huge anniversary show with the Hardys, that MCW and WrestlePro agreed to a talent exchange. I thought of this as like a trade, so I pitched an idea to Kevin and Mark Carino, Desirable Dustin, Mark Carino would love to be actually called Mark Carino on this, because if you're looking for graphic arts and designs and awesome posters and match card looking things, get to Mark Carino. Do it. Because, I mean, you saw what we just posted. CPA has been chosen by WrestlePro. We're going to send him down to MCW. In exchange, we get Ken Dixon. Ken Dixon, I talked to last night for a little while, and he seems very humble. He seems very hungry for the opportunity to come up and perform in front of Rawway. CPA is chomping at the bit. So these guys are both very respectful of this. And now this is going to create a very, very cool thing for our roster, for mostly, I would say, our students. After talking to Kevin, this is going to benefit the guys that are busting their ass in class and may not have that feature role yet, or maybe just ready to rock and roll and let's give them a shot down here as opposed to Rawway first. Like, there's just so many ways you can go with this. But I'm very, very happy that MCW and their management agreed to this, because it's very exciting for all the boys. It's exciting for me because I'm going to try to network myself and become, their color commentator. Why not? Why not? Strike when the iron is hot. So that's what I'll be doing. But that talent exchange is actually very, very cool. So a couple of shows besides that, the Five Borough Wrestling Show, I'm pretty sure I'm still on color commentary there. I got to talk to Mike Verna and Pete Rosato, who I talked to at the Battle Club show. And he told me I was in, so I have to follow up with that. That's also in February. So February is loaded with some great wrestling. Going forward, March, so pumped for WrestleMania week down in Orlando, for WrestleCon. It's going to be fantastic. I mean, it can't come soon enough. I'm on a personal quest to get in the best shape I can possibly get into. I'm not getting in the ring, obviously, but, there's going to be a lot of people down there, and you want to look your best. I think that it's very important to look the part. I don't appreciate guys that just... That's not true. It's not totally true. Guys that have never stepped in the ring before, the majority of them shouldn't commentate on wrestling, if that's fair. There's exceptions. There's always exceptions. Jim Ross is the greatest commentator of all time. Big sports guy, got into wrestling, and he's legendary. Paul Heyman, another one. You know what I mean? There's always like these massive exceptions. But like, if you never lived it or been in there or been around the business, I don't know if you should be out of shape. I'm just trying to figure out how to word that. I want to be Joe Rogan. So Joe Rogan, if you see him when he's doing the UFC events, he looks like $1 million. So I'm going to try to do that. That's my next goal here. That's what I've set for myself. I'm not shaving my head. I'm not shaving my beard, but I want to be Joe Rogan. He's very successful. Successful podcast, successful commentator. I started watching him when he was on Fear Factor, and I hated him. I thought he was the most corny person in the world. So that's what I want to do going forward. So the questions, should I cover them now or take a break? I guess we can cover them now. Yeah, why not? Let's cover them now. Only because I'll take the break and then I'll talk Super Bowl after that. So the questions. I left a Facebook post up today for a little while. It's still probably floating around there, so I really don't know if anybody would have commented or not. I did not turn my Facebook on the old computer, because why would I? Let's see. Oof, do we have any more? Yeah, we got one more question that just filed in. Is the cake a lie? Cake a lie. I have no idea what that means. Sorry, Jeremy. I have no idea what that means. But anyway, so we'll go to the real questions that I got, because sometimes Jeremy pops himself and He's a funny dude and everything like that, but sometimes I'm just like, what the fuck is he talking about? So sorry, Jeremy. Sometimes I don't get you. All right, Mike Malario. Big Mike Malario, my man. He asked me how I feel about the Samoa Joe debut and its timing. So basically, Samoa Joe did not debut at the Royal Rumble at 30 like everybody thought, or any time at the Rumble for that matter. And he debuted last night on Monday Night Raw, or Monday night, because you're listening to this on Wednesday. What do I think of it? I think I'm a big Samoa Joe fan. Love him. Love his work. Love his style. Love the fact that he's a big, big dude. How they used him, I think it's perfect. I think it's money. Why? Well, when you debut in the Rumble, AJ Styles debuted in the Rumble, right? Did he win it? No. But it led to, obviously it led to a million things. What I want to see when it comes to Samoa Joe is a victory. You know, you got to establish dominance. If he would have went into the Royal Rumble and not won, doesn't that kind of take the wind out of the sail right away? I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I think the timing that he said, F the Royal Rumble, I'm coming for Rollins the next night, I think it's perfect. Does that set up like a Fastlane match? Is it Fastlane before? It's Chamber and Fastlane, I'm pretty sure. Does that set up a Rollins versus Joe there to main event? Possibly. Does it exit the Triple H Rollins thing? I'm not sure anymore. I mean, if Triple H really didn't want to get in the ring, I mean, for Christ's sakes, the guy's still a brick house. I mean, you saw last night, he was sweating through his shirt. So, like, the guy is still primed and ready. So maybe we get a Joe match where Triple H cost him, cost Rollins, and then that sets up the actual match. But I think the Joe timing is perfect. I'm a big fan of it. My friend Rich, oh boy, the golf cart entrances. This blew me away because I didn't know this. Maybe I didn't see it, or I wasn't looking clearly enough, or if there, I don't think there was a clear shot. I could be completely wrong, but I'm pretty sure there's not a complete shot of them like coming down. Hold on, I'm taking a sip of the old Gatorade here. Hold on. Good stuff. Zero calorie one, too. I don't know if there was an actual camera angle that would show you these guys coming down on a golf cart. The bigger guys, Mark Henry, Big Show, Rusev. All of a sudden, there's pictures are flowing to where these guys are, they're coming on golf carts. I said it, when they set up that arena that night, we all said it. We said their horn's going to hit. And then by the time they get to the ring, the time's going to, we're going to be counting down 10 again because it's going to take them forever. And I thought to myself, like, how is Taker going to do this? And then, of course, they pulled the old fast one and Taker appeared in the ring, which I'm like, well, that solves that issue. But then you're going to have the guys that sprinted to the ring. And I'm thinking to myself, they're going to blow themselves up before they get to the ring. So it was a very interesting dynamic. I think it was pretty funny. As far as the weight limit, well, Big Show got on it, so I guess that's your limit. I don't know. I think it would be hilarious that, like, the visual of Bray Wyatt coming out with his lantern, and just all of a sudden it's like speed up, like, and he just comes in the ring and he's like, you know, does his thing, blows the candle out, and you're like, how the fuck did he get there so fast? I had no idea it was happening. So this is like fantastic to me that I'm seeing these pictures. But like the memes are fantastic. They're coming back. They're like Mario Kart and just, it's great. It's so great. Carlos, my boss over at Battle Club Pro. He is the owner and promoter of Battle Club Pro. He is the New York City Athletic Commission. Rip him. To be honest, they just seem like a hassle. It sucks because it's not fair that the New York City Athletic Commission lumps us being professional wrestling, in with boxing and with MMA, now that MMA is allowed in New York. It's not fair. We know, not to put down wrestling and its physicality, but if you had to like lump us in with something, maybe you lump us in with like a Broadway show. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, do they need an athletic commission? They're doing stunts. There's some violence. There's some falls. There's some, you know, there's a lot of stuff like that. So, but we're protecting each other. We know what's the outcome. We know what's going to happen. Like, for instance, the New York City Athletic Commission bans weapons. They ban outside fighting. They ban heels. This is not, I'm not making this up. They don't want heels to talk trash to the fans. That's in the actual print. It's fantastic. Like, wait, what? You're in pro wrestling. Your job is either A, to be a babyface, or B, be an asshole. So how are you not supposed to do your job? And this went back to the role I had at Battle Club, which was the commissioner of, it was our second show. And it's just this past, 2 weeks ago now. The match between Rude Boy Riley and Matt McIntosh was no DQ. How in the fuck do you do a no DQ match when you can't use weapons? So here we are. We're in the back. We're trying to go over this. And then there was the athletic commission guy is standing there just fascinated by all the characters. First of all, he's just like, is that a caveman? I'm like, yeah, it's a caveman. You know, like he saw all these fantastic characters. And then, you know, we're trying to go over this match. And we're like, okay, well, what can we do? So now, is it going to be a whole match of, like, dick kicks? You know, like, is there just low blow after low blow after low blow? Like, no weapons, but they're obviously hitting below the belt. So we finagled it in a way where, you know, we got one shot with, I think they stretched it out a little bit. And I think they probably gave the New York City Athletic Commission guy that was there a heart attack at some point. But there was a chair involved, and they tried to, like, no headshots are allowed. I mean, WWE doesn't even let that anymore. So when they said I had to take a chair shot, I was like, oh, fuck, I don't want to take a headshot. I'm going to die. So luckily I got hit in the ribs, which I fully recovered from, by the way. And no, but it was just, it's very hard to do our job as pro wrestlers and a pro wrestling company to put on a show where we want to give you a little bit of everything, a little flavor of everything, but then you take away the hardcore aspect. I think that's garbage. I think they need to reassess. I think they need to lump us out of the same thing that they're comparing, like boxing, not scripted, you would hope, but if you're a gambling man, you would hope it's not scripted, but that's brutality. MMA, like people could die on one shot, and that's the truth, the God honest truth. So wrestling is different, man. It's not the same entity. So they need to change that, because if not, New York is going to have a hard time getting good wrestling in there. And I know wrestling's not supposed to be all chairs and brutality, but at the same time, it's like, but you got it. You got to have something. You know, pop that crowd, get them excited. And you can't do it with seven matches on the card with chain wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be something, a variety. So, yeah, you're right, Carlos. We got to rip him. We got to take care of business sooner or later. It's just one of those things where it's like, we got to do something. We have to. So now, back to my notes. Question number 4. I deleted that one. He's a putz. Question number 5. CPA. He says, it's been 2 years. He wants answers. CPA, I love you. You know I love you. We're going to try to get some time where I can catch up with you and put you on a podcast, because I find you to be one of the most fascinating people on the planet. Your knowledge is like an endless pit. You, between you and Tommy Wansaw, Beefcake Charlie, between you guys, it's a pleasure having just a 5 to 10 minute conversation with you guys every time I see you, because there's always some kind of reference, some obscure reference that nobody will talk about for like in years to come. But it'll just be like, remember that time and on Nitro on June 12th, 1997? You know, like it's insane. You guys are like, there's just deep, deep knowledge. So I'm afraid actually to put you on the podcast, because what if you know too much and then like you're making this funny reference and I'm just like, nope, didn't see it. So I know a lot of wrestling, but you and Tommy are on another level. Eddie Franken, Mr. Buster Jackson. Will Buster ever hit the Botch Buster, which is supposed to be the Blockbuster? He's missed it a couple times. Yes, I firmly, firmly believe you will hit that move, kid. You just keep putting in the training, keep putting in the work in the gym, and you'll make it one day. Eddie is another guy that I have one of the most respect for, because he's still a kid. He really is. I mean, if you think about it, I'm pretty sure he's like 22, 4, max 5. I don't remember. But the kid started when he was 16 years old, you know, and he was used terribly. Dapper used him as a bump machine, probably put a hood on him 3 times, and he wrestled 6 times a night for Dapper and NWS. So he ate a lot of shit for a long time. So the fact that he's coming full circle and actually doing stuff in professional wrestling, then I, you know, kudos to that and much respect for that, because I know how it is. I've seen it. I've seen a lot of guys get walked over in pro wrestling, but you stuck to it. You know, you aligned yourself with the right people, and you know, you started training with us whenever the hell you started training with us. I forget the actual date, but you've been grinding and busting your ass, and I truly believe there's good things to come for you. But he also asked me if I have a dream match in 2017 in WrestlePro. Who do I want to see wrestle? I know this sounds... I don't know if it's a dream match, but if I had a way to put five guys in a ring at the same time, like a five-way match, Buck, Kevin, Mo, Moff, and Fala. Those guys. No. Buck, hold on. Buck, Bo, Mo, Moff, Fala. Yeah, those five. Put them in one match. Because I've seen Fala, Moff, and Mo, and they've killed it. Add Buck and Matthews to that. Like, it's almost like every single cornerstone of WrestlePro facing each other. And who's the man? And we got to see one winner. Who's it going to be? My pick? My knee jerk says Moff pulls it off. I think Moff is on a tear right now. So, but yeah, that's probably my dream match. I'm sure things can happen over time, but Raymond Sanchez, Dream Mania card. Well, I mean, what do they usually stack? 8-10 matches on that thing? There's only a couple that I really would really, really like to see. I'm personally, I mean, this is just a personal flavor. I'm looking forward to another Goldberg-Brock match. That's just me, though. I love Brock, and I love everything he's done and everything he does. So I'm a big Brock mark for that, so I'll take that. Taker. Now, after I watch Taker move around in the Rumble, do I think he has a full one-on-one match? I don't know. I don't know. Do we get Kane to come back and tag with Taker, Brothers of Destruction, one more time to take on two guys? I don't know. I mean, Reigns threw him out of the Rumble. So does that lead that up? And now you got Braun in the title picture. It's like it's very clustered, so I really can't tell you on that side what I want. Orton, I want in the main event against whoever the champion is, whether it be Cena or AJ. I think that would be great. Story-wise, I think you can tell a good story between Orton and Cena again, because I mean those guys came up at the same time, so you want to put another great package together, and you know, video package to hype that. I'm all for it. As far as the newer guys, I would love, and this just goes back to, you know, reviewing NXT and what I saw in NXT, but I would love Nakamura to be in WrestleMania in some capacity. I think that entrance in front of 100,000 people will just be something that, just revolutionary. I watched it again on TakeOver San Antonio, and it just captivates me, man. I love it. I love it. You have to watch. Like, if you don't even want to watch the match, don't. You don't have to watch the match. The match is amazing, but if you don't feel like watching the match and you just feel like listening to an entrance or watching an entrance, watch Nakamura, man. It's so... Between him and Rude, man, I was like, they didn't even have to fight. They didn't have to wrestle. I was fine and content with their entrances. You know, I was truly fine. Bobby Roode on another level. I always like seeing Rollins in action. I mean, I can't... you would assume that he's going to face against Triple H. That's cool, too. I'm all right with that. And then the rest is kind of wide open. See, that's the difference between me and a lot of fans. I'm happy with everything they do. Because it's still, to me, it's still larger than life. It's still bigger than me. So who am I to say, well, that's stupid. Nah, that's dumb. I don't like that. So, like, when Roman Reigns' music hit at 30, like, I posted a video the other day, and at 30, and I said, ugh, really? You know, like, but that's it. Not like, oh, my God, I'm never watching again. Fuck this. I hate my life. You know, like, I didn't get into that like that. I like pro wrestling. I love the WWE, and I love to watch everything they develop, whether they like develop it fast or slow drag it out. Just keep in mind, this is the same company that promoted a Rock Cena match for a year before it happened. Okay, so they know what they're doing. I would love to see Jericho in there with somebody. He's doing his best stuff he's ever done, and he has to know that. He's the hottest he's ever been in pro wrestling, and he's had a lot of cool roles before this. So to say that is saying a lot. Yeah, I mean, I guess the rest is just kind of, we'll see how it all plays out, but there's only a couple matches where I'm like, yeah, we got to see that. I could probably do without Shaquille O'Neal being involved in WrestleMania, but that's part of the WWE. Like, you have to have that celebrity presence. He'll probably go against Big Show. I don't know how they're going to start that up. I have no idea. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically my fantasy booking, I guess you can say. And then they could hire me, and I'll call every match. So, last but not least, Tom, my man Tom Sobe, who's a big New England and Patriots fan. So he's getting pumped this week. We'll get more into the Super Bowl after the break. But he says, as a prop bet, Chris Hogan, over or under 4.5 catches. I'm taking the under. Why am I taking the under? Because Brady makes a new guy every week. So if Brady made Hogan versus the Patriots, he will make the Edelman again, or Martellus Bennett again, or he never stays with the same system, and you got to know that. Like, you're a Patriots fan. You've watched every game thoroughly. You know, I don't see that being... Hogan might get 4 catches. I'll take 4. Maybe 4 for 60 and a touchdown. Maybe. That's not bad, right? 4 for 60 and a touchdown. There you go. That sounds like a stat line for Mr. Hogan. So those are the questions. I actually kind of talked already about my dream match and my... my WrestleMania and my NXT fallout. Congrats to Randy Orton. I guess the Vegas odds had him at -9,000 before it went off. So, yeah. So, somebody tipped somebody off, because those things were so accurate. It was disturbing. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. When I come back, we'll talk about the NFL Pro Bowl. We'll talk about the NFL Skills Competition. We'll talk about the sports that are coming up. And we also will talk about the Super Bowl, who I like, and all that jazz. So, hang tight, take a break, and I'll be right back.
Now the shit's about to kick off, this party looks whack. Let's take it back to straight hip-hop and start it from scratch. I'm about to bloody this jack up, everybody get back. That's why my pen needs a pad, cause my rhyme's on a red tag. It's like I did with a Dixon, I'm about to pick it. Like a magician, critics I turn up pick it. Got them still on the fence, whether to pick it. But quick to get impaired when I tell them pick it. So sick from looking pale, well that's my pick it. About to go ahead, now this shout out to pick it. Let's bring it back to that vintage Slim Bitch. The order and MC Ren, and I don't mean Stimpy's friend, bitch. Been public enemy since you thought P.E. was Jim, bitch.
Take your shoes off, let your head out.
All night long.
Pull your beard out, just spit out.
All night long. We're gonna rock this house until we knock it down. So turn the volume loud. Cause it's been to the head, yeah. So baby, make just like cake. Better let yourself out. Let yourself go. Say fuck it before we kick the bucket. Life's too short to not go.
Everybody. All right. What's going on, guys? I'm back. Gatorade check. Took my piss check. Good to go. One last question before I get to the football stuff. It jumped in at the last second. Kathy Hummer. Of course, I got to answer her question. I mean, it's Kathy Hummer. She's legendary. So, yeah. So, Kathy Hummer asked my favorite memory of favorite memory of the first year of WrestlePro. Well, if I had to say my favorite memory of the first, I mean, obviously I competed in, two matches. Just two matches in the first year. Those were obviously fun, but my favorite memory would, believe it or not, my favorite memory is the first night. And it wasn't the first night event. I'm talking about the Global Force Wrestling event that was hosted in January. And as I'm recording this was a year ago today. So a year ago on this Monday, Tuesday, was the night that everybody, Moth, Mo, and Kevin Matthews put Pat Buck on their shoulders. We Are the Champions blared across the sound waves. The entire roster came out of the back with I'm Pat Buck Guy shirts on. And I was not a member of that crew. That was the first night I bought a ticket. I came in as a spectator. It was in the works that I was going to be coming back, but technically, you know, I haven't been there in, 6 months, 5 months? And they all know I missed them, and I would talk to a certain amount of people every so often. But, yeah, my favorite memory was that night, and them all kind of going to the back, and I look like a fan doing this, but I went to the, right next to the entrance. So they had to see me before they went to the back. And I shook the hands of every single one of those guys. And I said I was back and I was missing them. And I can't wait to get the ball rolling. That was my favorite memory, because from there, the rest is history, man. All the memories between the being in the Rumble and, you know, getting my ass kicked by Chris Avery Kuehling and then doing all the commentary stuff. It's been a blessing and I'm enjoying it. And I'm just very excited for the future. I really, really am. Speaking of the future, is Sunday. Sunday is the Super Bowl. I'm a very big fan of the game, obviously. And obviously my team's not in it again. It's only been a 20 fucking year drought. So I'm kind of used to it by now. But I will be going to the ever so famous War Room for the pregame festivities. I'll say hello to all my friends, get my numbers and my boxes and all that good stuff. Hang out, drink a couple beers. Then I'll be going to my brother's house. He's hosting at his new house, which is great. Very excited to do that, be with the family again. To me, nothing beats being with family when it comes to watching sports. I don't know. I could be in the total minority, but anyway, the game itself. Well, let's backtrack. We just also came off the heels of the Pro Bowl game, which I saw 0.0 minutes of, except for highlights. It doesn't intrigue me, man. It really doesn't. There's nothing to play for. The rules are different. You can't blitz. You can't rush the kick. You can't try to block the punt. You can't, like, hit anywhere. Like, they should really just have a flag football game, to be completely honest. So, yeah, wouldn't that be more interesting to see these guys in, like, without all these pads on and stuff and just see them try to run natural routes and be covered like it was old school backyard football? And it disgusted me to see Dak Prescott throw pass to Odell Beckham. So, like, you know, it didn't do anything for me. What did do something for me was the skills competition on Thursday, but they re-aired it on Friday night. I watched it on Thursday for a little while, but I got to watch more of it on Friday when they re-aired it. I thought it was fascinating. They had an obstacle course for the running backs. Accuracy was brought back by the quarterback. See, I'm an old school guy. I remember when there was a show called, like, Quarterback Challenge, and I think it was during the Pro Bowl time. I'm not sure. It could have been, like, just middle of summer. I don't remember exactly. But, like, all the best quarterbacks would be competing, like, as far as, like, they would have the, you know, these nowadays, you know, these guys were throwing at accuracy things and, like smoke and fucking fireworks would go off when you hit one. I remember that back in the day in, like, the 90s, they had to put blue chalk on the nose of the ball. So, like, they knew exactly where you threw it. So they knew how to tally the points. I was always a fan of that stuff, you know, watching Troy and Dan Marino and Montana, Steve Young, do all, you know, Favre. So they all did the cool skills thing again this year, and it was actually pretty cool. Dak Prescott was in it with the quarterbacks. You could just see how competitive he is. Like, this is it's like a fundraiser. Like, you have to donate it to your charity if you win, and he was pissed when they didn't count certain things. Like, that's my quarterback. That's my teammate. That's my guy, man. Love that kid. Zeke did fantastic in the relay. He actually came through the wall like the Hulk. There was also, which I found awesome, is when they took a football, put it on a, why can't I think of the name of the device? Hoverboard? No. Drone. There he is. Drone. Wow. Brain fart. So anyway, they put him on a drone and they shot it up. They like shot it up as, you know, certain feet, and then they would just drop it out of the sky. So you would almost be in a position to get like a fair catch. But when you drop it from those distances, the wind's going to take it, and you have to like track it the whole time, and you're looking up into the sun, unless you're Odell wearing a visor or Landry wearing a visor. But like, you know, you're looking up and you got to track this thing. And they went up to like 300 feet in the air and dropped a football, which came down at 30 miles an hour. So that shit ain't easy, man. Okay, I remember when I worked for the Giants, I would mess around with that, the receiver machine where you, like, you put the football in between the two things and it would just rocket it at you. I mean, I caught a couple, but those things come freaking fast, man. So that was cool. But obviously nothing topped the dodgeball game. That was so fantastic to watch Zeke get so excited to make the final elimination, like just ripping his shirt off, doing the soccer thing. I was just hoping for no injuries. I was like, oh, please, just nobody tearing ACL or anything like that doing this freaking dodgeball. But overall, like, that weekend is cool. I'm glad they brought the skills competition back. That's awesome. Now, going forward into the Super Bowl game itself, I haven't got a chance, and I'll probably turn it on after I record this, but I haven't got a chance to see a lot of media week, which I usually am a big fan of as far as, you know, player stories and just different nuances that you would see, like that you wouldn't see on a normal coverage of any game. Like, this is, they've had 2 weeks to build this, so they'd really need to get some kind of material. So that's why I said this is terrible. The Patriots are in it because Bill Belichick gives you nothing because he's just vanilla. The game itself. Now, I'm around 10-year-old students all day, and they're all about Brady. And I'm in the minority. I think the Falcons have enough of a high-octane offense that they score just a little more. Like, their defense is playing better. The Patriots' defense is playing better, which is great. But think about it. Brady just came off beating a very... Well, they both... You know what? Brady and Matt Ryan both just came off beating shit defenses. I never believed in the Steelers' defense this year, and I sure as hell didn't believe in the Packers' defense after what Dak almost did to them. So, they're coming off shitty defenses. I just think that the Atlanta Falcons' offense has too much. Like... If it's not going to, they're one of their two running. They have Tevin Coleman and they got Devonta Freeman. Both guys are just phenomenal, hard-nosed, downhill runners. So, like, I like them. And I think they're going to brutalize the front of the Patriots. And it's going to force them to cheat in a little bit. And once you cheat in just a little bit, that's when Matt Ryan's going to start dropping it over the top to guys like Julio and Sanu and Gabriel. Like, there's a lot of guys over there. The Patriots, on the other hand, I feel like there's no... Besides Edelman, and yeah, Chris Hogan had his field day last week, and Martellus Bennett is good, but let's think about it. Brady, once Brady gets rattled, if he gets rattled once or twice early, I'm not talking about throwing picks, I'm talking about taking a shot, like hard. And what I've noticed about Tom Brady is that when he gets frustrated, he gets into like crybaby bitch mode. No, like I've watched it. He gets mad, he starts looking around for flags, he gets flustered. And you don't have enough weapons to get flustered, man. He's not going to win the game with his feet. Matt Ryan can run a little bit if he needed to. Brady can't. You watch that guy, it's like watching him run through sand. Like quicksand. You know, like it's bad. So, the spread is 3. I don't think it's moved. I haven't looked again. But I'm pretty sure the spread is 3. And I'm going to go... with my gut and my knee-jerk reaction. And that's to say that I feel like the Falcons have had a harder journey getting there. I think they've had a better offense all year round, where the Patriots, obviously with Brady being suspended, you know, it was hard for them to pick up the pace, but they won games. You know, they beat the crap out of the Texans with Jacoby Brissett as their quarterback. So they definitely had the weapons then. They don't have much of a running game. Deion Lewis, you know, he catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. And, you know, it could go either way, obviously, and the spread's there for a reason. But if you want to ask me my final score prediction, I like it to be 30-24 Atlanta. I'll give the Patriots 3 good touchdowns and a field goal. And I'll give the Falcons 3 good touchdowns, 24, 27, and 3 field goals. And they just outscore them. They get down there enough every time. 30-24, I like the Falcons. So I know Evan's listening to this, and he's like, I'm taking the Patriots. He thinks I'm terrible at gambling. I'm not gambling. But yeah, so that's my Super Bowl pick. And then it's the most depressing time of the year, and that's when football goes away. And it's like one of those things where it's like a culture shock. It's no more Sundays, and like I count down to the draft, and I'm starting to watch the combine. Like I'm that into it. It's kind of, I think it's a sickness, to be honest. I also admitted to myself, not that this is, I don't know, it's a real syndrome, but I think only because in the last 5 weeks I've really tried. Kevin McDonald is talking. Great, sending me voxes. That it's either good news or bad news. But anyway, I think it's something that I have. To only in the last 5 weeks where I've been promotion heavy. Like, I'm trying to get this podcast off the fucking ground, man. I'm really trying. And what I'm doing is I'm promoting a lot. So I'm on my phone a lot. It's to the point where I couldn't not put my phone down. It's weird. Is it an addiction? Maybe. I don't know. But again, I'm just trying to promote my stuff. It's not like I'm on here just scrolling and just reading everybody's statuses and I'm a fucking troll and I'm just like, I'm going to comment on everything. Like, I'm not. I'm promoting my shit. Go back. Look at my Instagram. Look at my Instagram, where it could be found at Dave Destruction. Look at that Instagram and see. Tell me that there's not one promotion tool on there where I'm not hashtagging my podcast or something like that. But it's been excessive, and it's been noted, and it's been looked at, and I've been in the doghouse a little bit. But whatever. What are you going to do? Gotta promote. But anyway, I think we'll wrap it up. I don't know how long I've been going. This always happens. It's 3:38 as I'm recording this. I'm pretty sure I started at like 2:51. So this is actually not a bad length at all. But I hope you enjoyed today. I cannot thank you enough for all the support you guys have been giving me and all the shares and the downloads and everything like that. Keep that up, and I will keep bringing you as much entertainment as I possibly can. Next week, I you know it's a big WrestlePro week. We'll preview that. I'll give you the matches and the card rundowns and my predictions on that. Obviously, there will be a Super Bowl fallout of who won the game, so we can go over that, some of the funny commercials. And as I said, we'll work on getting guests on here and guest spots and all this other stuff, because I know a couple guys are on me all the time about, oh, it would be fun, it would be fun. Of course it would be fun. It's always fun to talk to somebody else rather than talk to yourself. So, yeah, with that being said, thank you guys again. I will see you guys next week. And let's go Falcons, I guess. The rooting interest is hard. I never really say, like, let's go. You know, like, I'm really pumped. I'm taking the Falcons. How about that? We'll end like that. Let's go Birds.
Dr. P, you ready? Mr. F, you on deck? Meth, check that. Mr. F, what? Meth, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, huh? Meth, what? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Meth, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Meth, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Meth, huh? P, yeah. Mr. F, huh? Meth, what? P, hit him. I don't think they ready for this one. Drinks down, man up, circle round, stand up, pimps up, hands down, beat em up, man down. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. Hang body in the mosh pit. Let's make this club move like we got something to prove. Hang body in the mosh pit. If there's something wrong with me, is there something wrong with you? Hang body in the mosh pit. It's all true, y'all already know what to do. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. First of all, how many first to brawl? If you try and break something, then I'm the first you call. My shovel ready if any dirt's involved. And I euthanize rappers that try to hurt my dog. I off the lame that think I'm off my game. Kill a thought, chicka. And get it off your brain. Them jewels cost money, but love don't cost a thing. But it might cost your life, you don't come up off the chain. Drinks down, man up, circle round, stand up, pimps up, hands down, beat em up, man down. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. Hang body in the mosh pit. Let's make this club move like we got something to prove. Hang body in the mosh pit. If there's something wrong with me, is there something wrong with you? Hang body in the mosh pit. It's all true, y'all already know what to do. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. I'm like Jesus, you come across my name. Fast and furious to any that cut across my lane. House of pain, that half an ounce of Jane. And a raincoat for haters that try and doubt my reign. Adam F, Mr. Math and Doc P. The people need a reason to mosh, they got three. We live by the code, my killer's lock and load. If the pitch catch fire, stop dropping low. Drinks down, man up, circle round, stand up, pimps up, hands down, beat em up, man down. Drinks down, man up, circle round, stand up, pimps up, hands down, beat em up, man down. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. Hang body in the mosh pit. Let's make this club move like we got something to prove. Hang body in the mosh pit. If there's something wrong with me, is there something wrong with you? Hang body in the mosh pit. It's all true, y'all already know what to do. No hands in the air, no need for pumping your fist. Method man, tear the roof off, jump in the pit. Mr. F, what? Math, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, huh? Math, what? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Math, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Math, huh? P, hit him. Mr. F, what? Math, huh? P, yeah. Mr. F, huh? Math, what? P, hit him. I don't think they ready for this one.